So, good morning. So things were going absolutely swimmingly for the church in Jerusalem. We've heard over the past weeks about all that love and mutual care and sharing, the boldness, the generosity, the amazing signs and wonders, the increasing numbers. And if only we could be like that, we say. If only we could be that church in Acts. Our church is nothing like that. The church today is divided, is cliquey, it's prejudiced. It ignores the marginalised. No one's got any time to help. The leaders are run ragged. But hang on a moment. Doesn't that sound exactly what was happening in the early church, in that passage that John's just read to us? A church where there was prejudice and conflict, where people were grumbling. A church failing to serve some of the most vulnerable in their midst. A church with overbusy leaders who didn't have time to help others. Maybe we're more like the early church than we think, but in all the wrong ways. So let's take a look at the passage. The good news is that the early church in Jerusalem is growing in numbers. The bad news is that the growth is causing problems. The Hebrew speakers seem to have been discriminating against the Greek speakers. Maybe the Hebrew speakers had been in the church much longer, and they resented the newcomers, who they found difficult to understand and hard to relate to. So the Greek speakers started complaining, and they had good reason to. If their widows were being neglected, alarm bells would start to ring very loudly at this point for anyone familiar with the Hebrew Bible or with the gospel stories of Jesus, particularly Luke's account. Because widows have a very special place in the story of God's relationship with the Israelites. Widows were among the most vulnerable in those ancient communities, and they had a special place in God's heart. The psalmists describe him as their defender and sustainer. And God frequently reminds the Israelites of their duty to care for widows. Zechariah reminds us, this is what the Lord Almighty says, show mercy and compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. And Luke, who wrote the book of Acts as a sequel to his gospel, seems to have had a particular heart for widows, and they feature more in his gospel than in any others. So he would have been really disturbed that the early church was neglecting widows. It's also possible he was disturbed by the apostles' response when they hear the complaints. He quotes them as saying, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. So what goes through your mind when you hear that response? Fair enough, they're the apostles. They've got far more important things to do. But I'm not sure that's what Luke wants us to think. There's an intriguing parallel in Luke's account of the Last Supper. The disciples start arguing about which of them is the greatest. And Jesus rebukes them and asks, for who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? But I am among you as one who serves. Yet the apostles now think they have more important things to do than serve at the table. Have they forgotten Jesus' message of the upside-down kingdom, of servant leadership, of a world where the first shall be last? But whatever the rights or wrongs of the apostles' response in terms of servant leadership, it's clear that in a growing church, they can no longer be expected to do everything. And this passage in Acts marks a very significant turning point in the organisation and growth of the early church. The apostles realise that more leaders are needed so they can delegate some of the work. And interestingly, it's not them, the apostles, who select the new leaders. they ask the rest of the church to choose 7 new leaders who will take on the responsibility of caring for the widows. The selection criteria are, as the message puts it, that they are full of the Holy Spirit and full of good sense. And the 7 appear to have taken on much wider roles and been very instrumental in the growth of the early church. We know that one of them, Stephen, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people before becoming the first Christian martyr. While Philip, another of the 7, became known for his evangelizing throughout Samaria. So a significant passage in many ways, and a great example of a difficult situation within a church being addressed and turned around. And as a result, many more in Jerusalem came to faith. So what does this passage of Acts tell us as we gather as a church? What does it tell us about how we gather to serve? I'd like to think about 3 areas: being a church that is inclusive, being a church that is servant-hearted, and being a church where everyone steps up to serve. So firstly, being an inclusive church. As Paul writes in Romans, in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Or in that familiar passage from Galatians, in Christ there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And the early church seems to have been discriminating against those who spoke a different language, came from a different culture. And the history of the church and the church in the present day is too often the story of a church that discriminates against those it sees as different. Our own church, the Church of England, has acknowledged in the face of Black Lives Matter that it is still deeply institutionally racist. I don't know if any of you listening today remember Sonia Baron. Sonia and Tom were part of our congregation. Last year, she was co-chair of the Church of England's Anti-Racism Task Force. And this is what she said. The church cannot just play lip service to issues of racism. It's vital that we listen to all the different voices out there and fulfill our mission as a church by taking appropriate action. And as well as racism, we know that we as a church continue to discriminate against people in all sorts of ways: sexuality, class, gender. If you want to get a sense of how it feels to be a Greek speaker in today's church, there are a couple of quite provocative books available from SCM Press. One's called Ghost Ship by Azaria France Williams, which looks at institutional racism and the Church of England. And there's one about to be published by Gerald Robinson Brown with the title Black, Gay, Christian, Queer. So interesting reads if you want to look more at those topics. But we also exclude people in all sorts of other ways. Churches can be very cliquey places, and ours is no exception. So as we gather outside after the service and chat to those we haven't seen for ages, do we keep an eye out for those who are left out? In normal times, when we gather for coffee after this service, do we inadvertently exclude other people? And people who come to our services on their own can feel particularly vulnerable at times like this. And one person at St. Paul's has put it like this: you are on your own at church and go for a coffee between services. You look round. It seems that everyone is already deep in conversation. Do you elbow in? They invariably are looking the other way. They don't notice you. It could be so very different if we all kept half an eye open for others around us and included them without fuss. Many's the time I have gulped down my coffee after one circuit of the North Isle and gone home. So the early church neglected the Greek-speaking widows in its midst. Who are we neglecting in our midst? We know we are called to love one another, to serve one another, just as Christ loved and served us. And sometimes, though, we're just not aware of the needs of others, and we're too preoccupied to notice someone feeling left out. Sometimes we are blinded to need by our own presuppositions. In a middle-class church in a wealthy area, we assume no one we know in church could be in financial need. And we're part of a much wider church, and our brothers and sisters in other places are going hungry or are being persecuted. And if you'd like to know more or do more, do engage with the World Church team. The second point was about being servant-hearted. The apostles said they were too busy with the ministry of the Word of God to wait on tables. Do those of us who have leadership roles of any kind think we're too busy or too important to wait on tables? Are our priorities in line with those of Jesus? It's absolutely not about trying to do everything, but it is about making sure that sometimes we are the ones serving the coffee, doing the washing up, putting out the chairs, or whatever your equivalent of waiting on tables is. And thirdly, all of us in the church are called to serve. And serving, as well as being about waiting on tables, is also about stepping up, just as the seven did, taking on some responsibilities, taking on a role or duties that might be a bit challenging for you. The seven stepped up, the apostles no longer had to do everything, and the church grew and spread as a result. Stepping up to serve could mean different things for all of us here. It could be a small step or a much bigger one. Becky's just told us about how she stepped up to ministry in the Church of England and how we're all called and how we all need to discern where God is calling us to step up. It could be a very small step, like joining a home group. It could be volunteering to do a reading or lead the intercessions. It could be looking out for someone on their own and talking to them, even if the very idea terrifies you. So, three challenges for us all. What will you do to make a difference to the inclusive church? In terms of the big issues and the smaller ones, like looking out for those who need your help. Servant-hearted leadership. If you are a leader in any way, how do you balance your roles and responsibilities with waiting on tables? And finally, stepping up to serve. What step up is God calling you to make? In a moment, the choir will be singing "We Worship God in Harmony." So I'm going to close with a prayer using some of the lyrics. Let's remember we are children of God by grace, that male and female, Greek and Jew, are one. Let's pray we live as those whom Christ has called to love, with Christ-like mind that looks towards each other's needs, forbearing, patient, kind. Amen.